In today's podcast, we are saying thank you, Sting, after a fantastic final performance in the AEW Revolution main event. We'll talk about the whole card, everything that went on, returns and all of that kind of stuff. Let's get into it. This is the WrestleManiac UK show. What's up, people? Welcome back to the WrestleManiac UK show. Myself, Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will. This is coming out a bit later than usual because obviously I didn't stay up to watch AEW Revolution. I have been on a bit of a streak recently, staying up and watching pay-per-views, you know, like it's not going to punish me the next day. But yeah, I didn't want to get punished on this occasion. So I decided to wake up early in the morning and watch it then. So yeah, this is why the podcast is coming to you a bit later today. So I appreciate you for still waiting on it, still tuning in, still asking, are we getting a podcast today? Yeah, here it is. But yeah, it was a very, very good pay-per-view. Very, very good pay-per-view. As the AEW pay-per-views tend to be. They tend to. But, you know, this is their grand opening of 2024. This is like the pay-per-view that is kind of like heralded special, I believe, to AEW. Just it's like the first one of the year. So yeah, this was really good. And of course, on top of, you know, the regular great pay-per-view action, it was the retirement show, the retirement match, the final show time of Sting, the icon. You know, he was gonna hang it up, or should I say he did hang it up in the main event. Really, really good main event. Very fun. Ended the way it should have. And yeah, we're going to get there. You know, we are just talking about AEW Revolution pay-per-view. So if you haven't watched it, you know, go and watch it. Then come back to the review. I don't want to be giving you any spoilers or anything like that. If you're not a AEW fanatic, then, you know, I guess you don't have to tune into this podcast, even though I would like you to have a listen because there's some good stuff here, and maybe, you know, my review of this show can turn you into a fan. But without further ado, let's jump into it. You started on the pre-show, 0 hour. We had a 12-man tag team match. Guys, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, that's Bullet Club Gold and The Acclaimed, teamed up to go against Private Party, Willie Mack, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh. Now, this match, yeah. Decent match, decent enough match. You know, just here to warm up the crowd, excite the crowd with, you know, Bang Bang Scissor Gang, everyone scissor action, this, that, and the other. Like, you know, it was that kind of warm feeling. You know, the match didn't kind of stay too long. About 12 minutes long or something like that. Decent match, yeah. However, what in the world is Jay White doing on a pre-show? Yeah. Jay White, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, I understand he's part of this. He is obviously the leader of Bullet Club Gold, I think it's fair to say. Therefore, he's involved in the Bang Bang Gang and the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. But if it hadn't dawned on you that Jay White is a star, and yeah, that he's involved in all this six-man tag stuff right now, if that hadn't dawned on you, then Jay White being on the pre-show, 0 hour, man, it's... I don't know. We need to get out of here fast. I think we are definitely getting there in terms of, you know, him breaking free of the whole Bang Bang Scissor Gang stuff and then actually being a war between Bang Bang Gang and Scissor, if it claimed, I guess they're called, I'm about to call them Scissor Gang. There's definitely going to have to be something there that kind of splits these guys apart. And like I said, I think it's coming soon in the shape of something between Jay White and Max Caster. But my guy Jay White deserves so much more than this, man. So much more. it's incredible that, you know, even something that was as throwaway, and I definitely say it's throwaway, as throwaway as the All-Star 8-man thing that they done, which was like a number one contendership. Although a number one contendership is always important, the way they presented it, I would say, is a bit throwaway. But at the very least, that's where Jay White should be finding himself, if not in a proper program, doing what he does best. But it's crazy. And it's just like, at the speed of what new stars are coming in to AEW, you know, and returning stars and stuff like that, it's like, will Jay White ever find himself back at, you know, a decent enough position? Full Gear, he was wrestling in the main event for the world title. Although, yeah, we all kind of questioned the storyline and stuff. But that's where he should be. At the very minimum, international champion. You know, I would even argue to say the TNT title, although Christian has done a great job, you know, bringing it up again. I mean, yeah, no, that's okay. He can be a TNT champion. I would say international, because they kind of hold that in a more reverence. Continental Crown as well right now, well, it's new. It's, you know, he could do that. But that's the bottom. That should be the ground for him. Like, him on a pre-show doing six-man tag stuff. And he only came in right at the end to get the job done. Blade Runner and done. Like, he didn't even wrestle at all really during the match. So, yeah. Let's get Jay White out of this position. That's what I'll say. But the Bang Bang Scissor Gang went on to win this match. Like I say, Blade Runner on Willie Mack by Jay White. And they put away the other team. And yeah, we hopefully we'll see, like I say, this breakup between these two trios teams soon, because it's needed. The other match on 0 Hour was Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale going up against Sky Blue and Julia Hart. Great to see Julia Hart. I feel like I haven't seen her in forever. I absolutely love Julia Hart. And, you know, her ominous entrance and stuff. She is working through an injury, which is why we haven't seen her for some time now. Throughout January, I think we just saw her on TV doing bits with, you know, House of Black. But yeah, she hasn't been kind of wrestling too tough. Again, fun little pre-show match with these ladies. It looks like we are getting something between, you know, Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale, and who will be the one of them to kind of go for the TBS title from Julia Hart, which can, might, you know, start some contention between the two of them. But yeah, they've been telling this story using all the stars involved, or really it's been Willow versus Sky, you know, Chris versus Sky Blue. They've been teasing something between Statlander and Willow. They've been kind of trying to get on terms with their new management in Stokely Hathaway. So yeah, they're slowly, you know, telling this story, probably just waiting for Julia Hart to get the all clear so that she can come back and they can actually, you know, take some forward steps within the story. But yeah, it was good to kind of see Julia Hart out there. Hopefully that means she's you know, getting back to full fitness. But yeah, that was everything that was on the pre-show. TNT title opened the show. Christian Cage defending the title against Daniel Garcia. And again, fun match. It was good to see these guys all, you know, Daniel Garcia kind of, he's getting back to the wrestler, Daniel Garcia. Although there's still the fun element of the dancing and stuff like that. Christian with the whole family, like the whole family unit makes me laugh. We saw Killswitch, the former Luchasaurus, try to get involved on a number of occasions. Effectively became too much. We saw Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, ran down the aisleway. He started beating up Killswitch, a couple punches to his back, this, that, and the other. Eventually kind of chased Killswitch off, which was crazy. Like, Killswitch could put away Matt Menard easily. So yeah, I don't know why Killswitch took the beating, but he did. And yeah, he was kind of nullified from this match. Mother Wayne, she continues to be a thorn in the side of this story and getting involved and stuff like that. And what's his face as well was involved. Nick Wayne as well. He was involved as well. I could have absolutely sworn that, you know, it was going to be Daniel Garcia winning this title. I definitely hinged that on thinking that Adam Copeland will come back and, you know, nullify some of these threats around the ring and Christian would retain. But, you know, Nick Wayne delivered a stunner over the ropes. Daniel Garcia got caught from that, got caught in a kill switch, and Christian Cage retained the title. Good match. Very good match. It was good fun. But I feel like I'm getting a bit bored with the Christian run right now. I think this second run, obviously he lost it for a matter of minutes at World's End. I think this second run hasn't quite lived up to what we were getting with the first run so far. But yeah, Adam Copeland, I think they could have just dropped the title to Daniel Garcia here and they could have continued their feud, had Adam Copeland kind of made the save and, you know, helped Garcia or whatever the case is. But it looks like maybe it is going to be Adam Copeland that eventually beats Christian Cage for that title if, you know, things continue as they were going. Let's move on to the Continental Classic match. Eddie Kingston defending his title. And listen, I'm not even going to pretend like I understand. This Continental Classic. So hit me up with a tweet, you know, an X. Yeah, whatever they call it these days. Like, was the three belts on the line here? Or was it just the Continental Crown belt on the line here? I still don't know. I'm not sure. But yeah, Eddie Kingston as champion was defending something against Bryan Danielson. If Eddie Kingston retained the titles, Danielson had to shake his hand. Guys, this match was great. This match was so much fun. You know, just very hard hitting, the pair of them, loads of chops, just loads of spinning back fists, loads of strikes in general. Coming from both guys, a really physical exchange between the two of them. For the finish, we saw Kingston hit a powerbomb on Danielson and he retained. Obviously, Nigel McGuinness on commentary loved that. Nigel McGuinness is a complete just pain in the side of Danielson. But yeah, Eddie Kingston retained and we did get Danielson showing him the respect. Finally, the respect he's been after, the handshake, it was all there. It wasn't kind of done in, you know, a begrudged way sort of thing. Danielson was very respectful. He teased it at first. He put his hand out. Eddie went for the handshake. He dropped his hand. Eddie was like, oh, like, forget this. Started walking off. Danielson, no, wait. Pulled him back. You know, shook his hand, went to raise his hand. The hand he initially went to raise was like an injured hand. So he was like, no, the other hand. But raised his other hand and there was, you know, good respect between the two. We saw online, if you haven't seen it, search this out. It's absolutely brilliant. Eddie Kingston and Danielson in the trainer's room at the same time. And Danielson is basically listening to Eddie Kingston just go off on one, like, that's all I ever wanted, you know, the respect of my peers, the respect of you, the respect from Mox, the respect from Claudio, and I think, like, obviously now he's got it with Danielson probably being one of the last people he wanted that respect from, because he had this kind of handshake angle with Claudio already, if you remember, and then obviously him and Mox have a relationship more or less, even though they still beat the crap out of each other. So yeah, Danielson was like the last jigsaw piece in the puzzle and he was really kind of elated that, you know, he finally got Danielson's respect. And Danielson was kind of interrupting him as he was saying and saying, no, that you deserve it, you're great and everything like that. So no more King of the Bums, I guess. And then Danielson went on to cut an absolutely great promo, basically saying that I was being petty. This guy has worked so hard to get to where he is and this, that, and the other. He deserves it. I know I lost, but I had a great time and all of this kind of stuff. Danielson, the guy is too much, man. The guy is brilliant. Honestly, the guy is brilliant. And we're inside, you know, we're well inside his last 3 to 6 months of doing this on a constant basis. I'm sure we will still see him after that on, like, you know, special occasions and stuff like that. A match here, a match there. But honestly, this guy is a gem. He just, everything he touches is just turns to gold, man. He's so, so good. I'm already kind of down and sad thinking about, you know, the hole he's going to leave once he's gone. Just, we know, obviously, in talent, that there's an abundance of talent in AEW, so they'll be good on that front. But just like a good, selfless human being, like, that's what I think is the game is going to miss once Danielson hangs up his boots. But yeah, really, really good match. Really fun match. Kingston looking good with those titles. I still can't say I'm super invested in this Continental Crown or the whatever title, Continental Championship stuff. I think this is more story and the Danielson stuff. We'll see where he goes from here. But I think we need to continue to give him big matches and big opponents. I didn't like after he had won the whole Continental Classic tournament. I think his first defense was against Trent Barretta. Like, all respect to Trent, this doesn't make this title then seem like a big thing, you know? Maybe they do that to kind of just tick boxes and give people opportunities around, you know, week to week, and then they save the big opponents for the pay-per-view. But yeah, I think we just need to kind of build this Continental Crown thing up more, because now we have a title. It's gonna make, if we treat the title well during, like, you know, TV season and stuff like that, then once it's time for the tournament again, it's gonna feel like, no, like, this person needs to win this, because now the title has been, you know, the profile has been raised. So definitely hoping that we can get some better opponents, better caliber opponents to Eddie Kingston. Probably they have a ranking for this, maybe, I don't know. We'll see how they handle it. Next up, we had this 8-man scramble, all-star scramble, I think they called it. It was a non-title match, but the winner gets a world title shot. So basically a number one contenders match, 8 men involved. Those 8 men were Hook, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Brian Cage, Wardlow, Dante Martin, Chris Jericho, and CMLL's very own Magnus. This match, yeah, I would have rather you just given me a meat match. Pause. I know that might not have sounded great. But I would have rather you just given me the meat match that you planned. Now, from everything Tony Khan has said, it sounded like the original meat match was supposed to have more guys in it. But I don't see why they just couldn't have done Lance Archer versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Wardlow and then add a Brian Cage. Like a fatal four-way or a four-way match between these four beefy guys, done. The winner gets, you know, a world title shot. This became just very scrambly, very messy. It could have been cut down in time for sure, I think. It didn't need to be as long as it was, 16-ish minutes, I think, 15, 16 minutes. Yeah, there was a nice little the meat spot with all the four bigger guys that I just mentioned before, you know, doing some stuff in the ring. But I don't know, man, it just was a bit too much. I don't think anyone came off looking like overly special sort of thing. Dante Martin had a bit, you know, a few slip ups here and there trying to hit some of his spots. I can't necessarily think of anything of serious note that Magnus done. I mean, to be fair, him and Chris Jericho had a nice double lion salt moment, but yeah, that's probably about it. Yeah, man, I just feel like they can cut this down. Just give us the four-way of the four big men and done. To be honest, because no one in this match is winning the world title. So yeah, I don't know. We just wanted to get loads of guys on the pay-per-view. I hear it, but I don't hear it, man. This match, I think for sure it was just too long for what it should have been. It should have been a quick car crash match, maybe 10 minutes and done. But to get to 15, 16 minutes, yeah, not for me, not again anyway. Next up, we had the international title on the line. Orange Cassidy defending this title against Roderick Strong. He had been given the all clear by Doc Samson earlier on the night. He had to wear his kinesio tape to support his back to help him. And did it help him? I don't know, man. Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong's entrance. I mean, that cape and a mask, what was that about? I don't know. If there's any kind of reference, again, hit me up on the X machine. Let me know what was that a reference to, because I don't know. He looked like a cheap, like if a 5-year-old was told to kind of dress like Darth Vader for a fancy dress party, and his mum just like put together something quickly for him. That's what it looked like. Looked really rubbish, to be honest. So yeah, this match was very, very good though. I felt like when you give Roderick Strong just a straight up wrestling match, let Roderick Strong be Roderick Strong, he was absolutely fantastic. There was a, what can I call this? Like a gut wrench superplex onto the top rope, the top turnbuckle. Where you, like Orange Cassidy just went into complete spasms and was just rolling all over the place outside the ring, like very gnarly looking spot, where he just came down hard on the turnbuckle right at the corner. Yeah, this guy's good, man. Roderick Strong is very, very good, which isn't anything new that I'm saying. You know, everyone would have known this. Roderick Strong is, you know, a complete legend and a fantastic wrestler. There was a beach break that was hit. There was a Panama Sunrise by Orange Cassidy as well, which is pretty fun to see. But nothing was enough. Strong came back, hit an end of heartache for the pin. And in one of the shorter matches on the cards, became the international champion. Now, as he was celebrating with the other Undisputed Kingdom guys, they came down, they lifted him aloft, turned him around and all that kind of stuff, took the acclamation from the crowd, put him back down. Orange Cassidy's kind of rolling out of the ring at this point. And we see a figure start coming through the crowd. This figure jumps the barrier and enters the ring. And I can see immediately it's Kyle O'Reilly, but he's got crazy hair right now. Absolutely crazy hair. O'Reilly gets into the ring. Great to see him. He's back. He kind of has like a menacing look on his face, a real menacing look, and kind of circles United Kingdom. They are a bit like, huh, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden he goes in for a big hug with Roderick Strong. So at least he's established that, you know, he is friends with Roderick Strong, if not the entire faction. Once they break up the hug, Mike Bennett just removes his t-shirt and tries to give it to Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly looks at it, but he doesn't put it on. He doesn't accept it or anything like that or point at it. He just rested the t-shirt over Roderick Strong's shoulder, said something to Roderick Strong in his ear and left the ring looking a bit like emotional, in fact, like he was going to break into tears or something. So Kyle O'Reilly is back on the screen. I don't know where they're going with this or, you know, how they're going to do this, whether he'll join them. I think he will. I think he probably should. But it's not the way I envision this all working. So I have to kind of see how they do this to before I kind of cast my judgment. But more than anything, great to have Kyle O'Reilly back. Another great member of the roster returning at this time when, you know, the roster is becoming like more and more stacked with great names. Another name that we saw pop up on the show that seems to be returning imminently is the bastard Pac. Couldn't believe it when I saw Pac here. I was like, oh, you still work for this company, mate? And he was like, you know, I bet you're wondering where I've been. Mind your business. And I was like, fair enough. But yeah, you know, if we can get Pac back into the mix, cool, blimey, mate. Like, this is obviously, you know, and I think I've seen Tony Khan saying in the post pay-per-view scrum, the media scrum, saying that this is the best roster in the world. And I don't want to kind of sit there and go like for like between them and WWE, like who's got this person, who's got that person. Like, obviously, this is whether he believed it or not, this is what someone's going to say to prop up their company. But they have a brilliant roster. They do. They do have a brilliant roster. And with Pat coming back imminently as well, hopefully he can stick around. Like, I'm not for Pat coming back if he's just coming to do like fleet and stuff again. Like, we need a real run, because I always stand by this. The way Pac was positioned from early AEW, it was like this guy was going to be a world champion. And of course that can still happen, but it's like they made it seem like Pac was going to be a top guy for us from now, like from this very moment of us doing this press conference in Jacksonville. And he came out in not regular clothes, but just his pant. Like, it seemed like Pac was going to be a world title winner already. He has been well decorated. He has won titles in AEW, but yeah, I expected more. I don't know what's gone on with, you know, why he's kind of seemingly back in England more so a lot. Like, I guess one day we might find out. But yeah, Kyle O'Reilly returned on the show. It looks like Pac is going to return imminently. And yeah, there's another kind of debut, I guess we can call it, that takes place later on, which we'll get into. Next up on the show, FTR versus Blackpool Combat Club. Again, I don't know how many times I've said it. Really, really good match. Probably one of the better matches on the night. And that's not even to poo-poo the rest, but it's just like they raised the level again. What I'm enjoying seeing is Moxley and Claudio kind of forge their way together as a tag team. You know, they're guys from the same stable, but they haven't like tagged together extensively elsewhere. So it's like they've been learning to become a tag team sort of thing, and, you know, having dual moves and things of that nature. So yeah, really good to kind of see that. FTR are, you know, they're brilliant best anytime they get between the ropes. I don't think I could ever really call back to a poor FTR match. Those guys are brilliant. This match was about 20 minutes long. I thought they were going to go to the half an hour mark, where just how much they were giving for this match, and then do another kind of, not a time limit draw, but, you know, then someone wins just before the time limit or something like that. But no, BCC got the win. Now, for me, obviously, I do with the rest of the guys, the predictions league. I thought beforehand, before maybe this weekend, I thought that Blackpool Combat Club will get the win. That was my pick, and I don't know why. Just last minute, I changed it. I think I changed it because, obviously, the last match between these guys, FTR were probably about to win, and they ran out of time limit draw, 20 minutes. So I thought, right, now they're going to have 30 minutes. They are going to get the pin. But no, didn't work out that way. We saw BCC get the pin. There was like dual headlocks, grounded headlocks. And yeah, we saw, I think it was Dax that tapped out or passed out. So yeah, BCC get the win, and they were saying that surely they're on like the tag team rankings. They're on the radar. Probably get a tag title opportunity soon. The women's title was defended. Tony Storm defended against Deonna Purrazzo. It was kind of fun. Tony Storm was about to do her entrance. We thought we were getting a Tony Storm entrance, when all of a sudden it was fake Tony Storm, Mariah May in like old Tony Storm gear, music, everything. It looked like Tony Storm had kind of changed her ways, gone back to that, but nope, it was just all a ruse. Timeless Tony Storm eventually came out, and this again, a very, very fun match. I don't think it hit the level that people probably thought it was going to. I would put that down to giving the likes of the match I just discussed, FTR and BCC, such a long time to do their thing. I think also the scramble match, the All-Star 8-Man match, you know, again, there was just no need for it to last as long as it did. And that's probably taken some time off this women's match, you know, that they could have used to kind of put together a really good story. Purrazzo, not sure the direction she goes in now, because she did not win the match. We did see Toni Storm retain here, which I'm pretty sure everyone thought Toni Storm would retain here. So Perrazzo could be an interesting one. Obviously, she's been talking about technical wrestling this entire time. The other, you know, woman synonymous with technical wrestling on the roster is Serena Deeb. Her and Serena Deeb can do a little thing. They can have a little match or so. Serena Deeb obviously made a comment on Collision the other day about, you know, being the final boss. And of course, from the minute she said that, we've all been kind of fantasy booking her and Mercedes Moné. So yeah, even if they do like a Perrazzo versus Serena Deeb, it probably won't be like, you know, super, super long, as you would assume that final boss comment wasn't, you know, a complete throwaway line, that she planned to kind of do something with Mercedes Moné. Right, let's move on to the next match, which by all accounts is probably match of the night. This will probably get 5 stars. This will probably break the 5-star scale and might be get something a bit more. It was the Don Callis family exhibition, if you like. Konosuke Takeshita going up against the new AEW official roster member, Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay was over like Rover. They love him in Greensboro. Like, people were hot to see him here as an official roster member, and your boy didn't disappoint. He was very, very good. Him and Takeshita, like, this was strong style, like crazy strikes, technical stuff as well, springboard clotheslines, superplexes. Like, this was such a hard-hitting and really good match. Great for Takeshita, who we know is an absolute brilliant professional wrestler, but I would say in the Don Callis family, he's being wasted. He's not really showing, you know, what he can do. They give him maybe the odd matches here and there against here and there kind of people, if I can say that respectfully. Like, Takeshita needs to exit this Don Callis family, see that it's not doing anything for him, and then go on and carve his own way, like, you know, having really good high-profile singles matches, because the guy is brilliant, man. Let's be completely honest, the guy is brilliant. And then Will is awesome. Will is a fantastic professional wrestler. Like, he's just so entertaining. Like, even if, like, for me, I was trying to get stuff done as I watched Revolution, and I just, when it was time for this match, like, you don't want to take your eyes off it. You know, I really watched this match, and I'll be completely honest with you guys. Like I say, you might just be doing something else and tuning in and stuff like that. Like, I really watched this match. This match and the main event, I had my full attention. It was just brilliant. The sequence that eventually led to the finish was incredible. You know, I could just, you have to watch this match. If you haven't seen it, you have to watch this match. This was really, really fun from beginning to the end. Respect shown at the end as well, after Will Ospreay got the win with the Hidden Blade. You know, him and Takeshita still being under this Don Callis family umbrella, at least for now anyway. Respect was shown. It was just good. Carl Fletcher came out post match as well, so Carl Fletcher at least for now has sorted out his, you know, immigration issues or whatever he may have been having. Hopefully we can get Mark Davis back and kind of have a United Empire link up between these guys. I think that could be really, really good. Takeshita and Will Ospreay, for me, they need to leave this faction. There's just absolutely nothing on offer here. Leave the faction. Let's get this done somewhere else, because these guys here aren't willing to do it. So yeah, great to see Will officially part of the AEW roster, and yeah, hope he goes on to continue blossoming from there. And Takeshita as well in 2024, I want more for my guy as well. Let's talk about the AEW world title. Samoa Joe defending the title against Swerve Strickland and Hangman Adam Page. You see this match, yeah, it was a good match. I feel like overall, I'm probably a bit underwhelmed by it. But it was a good match. Like, it was like a solid match. There was nothing super, super crazy that took place. Well, apart from Hangman, I guess, beating the living hell out of a referee. Like, pulling out a ref's leg so he can't count, you know, do the count. Or, you know, just hitting him once so that he comes off the count or whatever the case is. But Hangman went full on psycho mode and was beating up the referee, plumbering the guy while he was lying on the ground. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in professional wrestling. It was really good. And it's confirmed. Hangman is unhinged. Like, he's completely lost the plot. Like, that was absolutely absurd what he done. You won't see it anywhere. Like, he's absolutely crazy. But we love him. He's the Hangman. Like, you know, this, we've come to love this guy, but he's completely lost it. His obsession with stopping Swerve win the title is fully fledged. Swerve really tried in this match. He really tried. He really pulled out a lot of big moves, trying to put away the likes of Samoa Joe and Hangman Page and stuff like that. But I don't know. I could have just done with, you know, the one-on-one match, which still feels like it's on the cards. So obviously Hangman tapped out to the Coquina clutch. You know, he could have passed out, but, you know, maybe he just wanted to ensure that this match is over so that Swerve cannot continue or whatever the case is. You know, this is his opportunity gone. And Swerve really did sell that when the match was finished. He really did sell, like, oh my God, this opportunity has slid between my fingers, which was great to see. But I'm sure we can all probably work out he'd get another chance. Whether it's Big Business or now this new AEW pay-per-view Dynasty, I think Swerve was going to be in the main event, getting business done. And he deserves it. We have to strike now with the Swerve, you know, world title run, because, you know, as much as I hate to say it, it's the absolute truth. Ospreay is waiting over the hill. Ospreay is waiting in Wembley now for his opportunity to come. So we need to strike now with Swerve. Giving Joe a pay-per-view defense is good. Not quite a main event pay-per-view defense, but a pay-per-view defense nonetheless. And he just has to now, at the next kind of opportunity, this AEW Dynasty, yeah, I think it's got to be Swerve's time by that pay-per-view latest. But yeah, a good match for the world title. Can't complain too much. For me, I just didn't think it, I don't know, there was just something that was kind of off. Maybe it was just the triple threat aspects. But yeah, we saw Samoa Joe keep the title, at least for another pay-per-view, like I'm saying. Right, and in the main event, the Young Bucks were going after Darby Allin and the Icon Sting's AEW tag team titles. I could never do beat for beat in this match because it was just absolutely bonkers. The stuff that the likes of Darby Allin are willing to do. I mean, to get straight to the spot, like, that spot he done was crazy. Crazy, from that ladder in the ring to that table covered in glass, you know, down below. Like, honestly, like, that's a madness. It's pure madness, that spot. I enjoyed it. I loved the kind of capturing of, you know, the glass shards in his back and stuff like that, and then bleeding out. I enjoyed all of that, but Darby. And now Darby's going off to climb Mount Everest. And he said in the press conference that he's got a doctor's note, he's allowed to go and do it and all of this kind of stuff now. Yeah. The boy needs to look after himself, because as much as he does this to entertain us and stuff, like, you want him to be around doing it forever. Like, spots like this are mad. I'm not going to say, oh no, don't do it and stuff. I enjoyed it. So yeah, but he's just, at the same time, I wouldn't be mad if you reined it in because I don't want you to die. That's the bottom line of that. Yeah, but, you know, even before we get there, I've jumped to there because I guess it was one of the most notable things. You know, Sting making his entrance. He had the cinema watching back all his best bits of his entire career. He said it's his final showtime. His sons came out dressed as Surfer Sting and then Wolfpack Sting, which was really, really cool. You know, when the match started, the sons were in the, got into the ring and they helped deliver splashes to the Young Bucks as well. And then, yeah, after this, commence all the kind of crazy spots and stuff. Stuff on the ladder, going through tables, glass panes, absolutely crazy stuff. We also had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat as the special timekeeper for this match. And he eventually got a super kick for his troubles. We saw Ric Flair come into the ring as well and cover up Sting from the beatdown that he was getting at one point from the Young Bucks, because obviously Darby had basically killed himself with that ladder spot, landing on no one. So the Young Bucks are just, you know, absolutely double teaming on Sting. Ric Flair came, lay on top of him. When he popped his head up for something, he took a super kick, and yeah, that was him done. So yeah, loads and loads of spots. We had Sting no-selling moves, which was brilliant. I always enjoy when Sting does that. But eventually we saw Darby, when these guys, the Young Bucks, are going for the, is it the TK driver, the Tony Khan driver, I think they call it. We saw Darby Allin come back. He pushed Nicholas Jackson through one of the tables. The table completely crashed. And then we saw a Scorpion death drop happened to Matthew Jackson, and yeah, got the pin, match done, Sting's career done. It was a really fun time. The match was very, very fun. Was this the right decision to have Sting and Darby Allin retain? I think for the feel good factor, yes, you have them retain so that, you know, the crowd leaves the place happy. Following that, this, there was obviously like a speech. I thought that Sting would probably want to do, you know, the business and, you know, go out as the man on his back while the Young Bucks get the win. But maybe he wanted to do that. Who knows? Another really kind of selfless dude in this industry, wants the best for the industry. So, yeah, it never happened in the end like that. He did get the win and they did retain. And Tony Khan said in the press conference that, following the vacation of the tag team title, which is going to happen now between Sting and Darby Allin, there's going to be a tournament to crown new champions, which is great because AEW very good at tournaments. We enjoy AEW tournaments, so looking forward to that. I feel like the tag team division has had a bit of a rejuvenation in recent times, so since the beginning of the new year, so it'll be interesting to see tag teams involved in this tournament. Should be good. And then yeah, the show went off. They were running out of time, but the show went off, you know, the broadcast with, you know, Sting saying some words, thank yous, this, that, and the other. I heard that Tony Khan came out and done a rah-rah speech as per. But yeah, very good main event. Great send off. I haven't been around to see, like, you know, so many retirement matches and stuff in my time. I've seen a lot of kind of retirement angles and stuff, but actual matches where the wrestler has said, you know, I'm stepping away, and, you know, they are being genuine with I'm stepping away, not so much that I'm coming, I'll be back sort of thing, or I'm retiring and yeah, I'll be back to kind of do another little run some other time. Like, this felt like the end sort of thing. And yeah, Sting's been brilliant. AEW have been great as well. They've renewed my faith that, you know, these elder statesmen, legends, they have a place within professional wrestling still, if used correctly and not to take away from the product. And, you know, they still have stuff to offer. They're the wise heads. I think Sting will be an exception. Maybe one or two others in the future. But I just think that Sting is just such a, you know, storied, such a nice guy that people respect him. They want to take advice from him. They want to listen to him. They want to learn from him. This may not be the same with every other legend, but in this case, between Sting and AEW, they got it just right. So this is my AEW Revolution 2024 review. Out of 5 stars, what do I give this pay-per-view? I think I will give it a solid 4. 4 out of 5. I think at best I could push up to like a 4.25. I think there are some things that, you know, were okay. Like I say, the meat match, the All-Star Scramble, probably too long in my opinion. The women's match deserved more time to do more bits, in my opinion. Like I said, there's something about the world title match, the triple threat, that didn't really sit right with me. I can't quite put my finger on what it was, but there's something that was a bit funny there, sort of thing. So yeah, a really, really decent show though, despite those little wrinkles that I just mentioned. AEW, like I said earlier, they've announced this new pay-per-view they're doing, AEW Dynasty. So look forward to that. Mid-April should be good. And we're moving in the right direction, man. We're moving in the right direction with AEW. It's been a long slog last year and, you know, 2022, when the slog began with AEW and how they were booking TV and stuff like that. I feel like with the turn of the year, it's been a lot better. This show kind of proved it's been a lot better. So yeah, it's just a case of AEW continue to progress and, you know, show that they have like the best wrestling product on TV, especially in terms of matches week to week. So yeah, I'd love to see them continue in the vein that they've started the new year. But yeah, guys, that is the show. AEW Revolution 2024 is in the books. Currently, if you're going to see this or listen to this before I get the video out, I'm doing a hot takes video. So if you've got any hot takes on AEW Revolution or AEW wrestling in general, you can find the post on my X page or DM me your hot take and maybe you will see your hot take come up in the video I'm going to record. So yeah, let's get chatting about AEW Revolution. Let me know what you thought of it as well on X, WrestleManiac UK. And I appreciate you guys tuning in for another podcast. We're on the road to WrestleMania as well, so that's going to be very entertaining. But AEW are building, man. They're building again. Big businesses around the corner. Maybe an Okada debut as well. So a lot to look forward to. But I'll get this podcast all edited and wrapped up so that, you know, you guys can listen to it. And, you know, again, every single time I got to say, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a supporter. Thank you for sharing the podcast. And I'll see you in the next one. WrestleManiac UK signing out. And I'll see you soon.